you, and this is Andrew Phipps. I hope today that you will notify your neighbors and friends and allow them to know that our Faith, Family, and Freedom broadcast is coming to their area. And we appreciate that you have joined us today. I think we have some segments today that you're really going to appreciate. It's always our honor to be with you, our friends. We believe that the agenda of faith, family, and freedom, we think it's paramount. We just think that each category, each name, each nomenclature is worthy of consideration. When we think of our faith, when we think of the family unit, when we think of the precious freedoms. You know, Christ came that we could be free and be free indeed. And we were not to be in bondage unto the law. And Christ delivered us from that, from the penalty of the law. And today we're saved by grace through faith. That's the way it's always been for every individual, trusting Christ, His blood, His sacrifice as the only means of redemption. It's not in the Catechism. It's not in the Apostles' Creed. It's not in any observance like water baptism or whatever, but it's simply our faith, trusting Christ, His death, His burial, and His resurrection as our hope of salvation. Recently, I did a little message at our home church, Liberty Baptist Church in Muncie. I think last week we shared the first part. This week we're going to do the conclusion of that little message, and it's taken from the book of John, and I simply titled it, How Much Do We Really Love the Lord? I tell people my own struggles sometimes because I want it to help them. Everybody goes through certain emotions in your life. If you don't, you're an exception. There'll be periods of anxiety. There'll be periods of depression. There'll be periods that you just don't understand when your mind is racing 100 miles an hour and you're trying to get control of it. If it's never happened to you, be thankful. I'm just simply saying we all face things in life, whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, whether it's psychological, we just face things in life. And anyway, we see here Peter is asked three times, how much do you love me? I'd like to speak just a few minutes on that tonight. I wonder, how much do we really love the Lord? Notice he told him first to feed the lambs. That would be the little ones. Then he told him twice to feed the sheep. I guess sheep require more than the lambs. Now also, back in the book of John, he talks about little children. Then he talks about the fathers. And then he talks about the stages of development, that how that we're to desire the sincere milk of the word and so on. When you look at these scriptures here, the Lord shows his omniscience and his omnipotence. Not only does he know everything, there's nothing that he can't do. Now, sometimes it's just good for us to ask one another, do you love me? Sometimes we definitely need to ask that of the Lord. A fellow called me today from down in South Carolina. He said, I just felt you were on my mind. I said, Brother Terry, thank you for calling. I said, what an encouragement. He said, Preacher, he said, I want to give you something. And this has nothing to do with the message. He said, sometimes I want you to preach on this, how not to go to heaven. And I said, my, what a thought. And he said, well, you don't want to go empty-handed. And I thought about that. I thought, well, that would be good, a good subject. But here in the account of the book of John, we see John is put right to the test. I wonder tonight, now here's my question, how much do I really love him? Sometimes we'll say, well, I love you, and it can get to be very mechanical. It can become methodical. It can become routine. I guess some people could go overboard with it and record it. That way, every time your wife asks you, "Do you love me?" just hit the pray button, and it would say it for you again and again. But we know that the Lord loves us. Amen. Greater love than this hath no man than he lay down his life for his friends. God is love. They asked me that question the other day on RAV. And I said, well, I know God is love. I know that. But I said, we must also remember that he's a thrice holy God and that he doesn't like sin. That's saying it not in the correct way. Sin is repugnant to the Lord. He's such a holy God that all that we do and think usually is contrary to his will. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. It's amazing that God could use any of us. If we thought about it from our own perspective of how insufficient we are, how unworthy we are, but still yet I believe there's a God in heaven and he loves for us to tell him how much that we love him. Notice he said here that now Peter is the same one that beckoned to John at the Last Supper. In other words, who's going to betray you? Lord, which one is it? He beckons to John, and John's over here on Christ's breast. And the Lord has finally asked, who's going to betray you? And he said, well, the hand that dippeth in the sop. And signifying that Judas would be the one that would betray him. And then the Bible says that Judas went out and from him and that the devil entered into him. But the Apostle Peter here is asking this question. How much do we love him? And I think even as church people, we have to ask ourselves that question. How much do we love him? I think we should all be encouragers. I tell Todd many times that. He'll agree with that. I don't know if he gets tired of hearing it or not, but I try to tell people, look, that I love you, care for you. We ought to be encouragers. You know, I've had it, you know, so much of the people that are discouragers. I tell folks, I'm an independent Baptist, but I'm not mad about it. You see, there are a lot of people that act mad. They've got a very bad attitude. I'd rather have somebody, maybe, that at least has got a good disposition. Now, I'm not condoning false gospel or false doctrine. I don't want to be accused of that. But even when we're right about things, we can have the wrong attitude if we're not careful. Nobody wants to be screamed at and told that there's no hope for you. I'm one of those, I think I'm an eternal optimist, that I always believe that there's going to be a better day. There's going to be a better opportunity. There'll be a better tomorrow. Things will improve tomorrow. If not now, look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. War and strife are on every hand, and violence fills the lands. Still we hear about his coming. And I'm glad that we sang that song tonight. But notice here in these verses, he said, lovest thou me? I wonder how we could exhibit that. How do we exhibit? I think, first of all, we exhibit the fact that we love Christ, that when we can, we get to where the services are, where we can go and be encouraged by the Word of God. This here is your food. Not because I'm good, but this Word here is perfect. It's manna from heaven. Well, indeed, I hope you might have appreciated the message on how much do we really love the Lord. I think if we love the Lord, we will exhibit that in countless ways. We will show it by our conduct. We'll show it through our character. We'll show it through our commitment to the local church. We will show it in our conversations and so on. Well, I think that I know you enjoy when we present a song in the program. And of course, we were reared on Southern gospel music, and that's been what we have tried to promote throughout our years. The Primitive Quartet from Candler, North Carolina, who probably by this time will be ready to retire. They're doing it right at this week that we're taping. And so they have been friends, wonderful people, good Christian men who truly love the Lord. They represent the Lord well, and they've been a blessing to countless thousands. And I hope today that you'll enjoy the song, and I believe Brother Reagan Riddle takes the lead on this song that says, "That Sweet Land of God's Somewhere."
Faces that I used to know, the ones who left us down here below, they went away and I missed them so. They're in God's presence now. He'll get me there to where they are somehow, where everything is bright and fair, in that sweet land of God's. That sweet land of God somewhere. No more parting, no more care. And by God's grace, I'm going there. With all the joys that's beyond. Come there, and I'm ready, should He call today. Like a bird, I'll just fly away. And all of heaven I'll. In that sweet land of God somewhere. I'm getting homesick to see the one who paid my penalty. That debt He paid in full at Calvary would have cost me eternally, and I long to see the place. Amen. That's lighted by the Savior's precious face, that place He went away to prepare, to that sweet land of God somewhere. That sweet land of God somewhere. No more parting, no more care.
This is it.
And by God's grace, I'm going there. With all His joy that is beyond. Come there, and I am ready, should He call today. Like a bird, I'll just fly away. And all of heaven I will share. In that sweet land of God somewhere.
And all of heaven I will share. In that sweet land of God somewhere.
Amen. And I'm going there.
If you'd like to have any of our products, we do have a Faith, Fame, and Freedom Handbook. We have some DVDs. We did one with Pastor Jim Scudder in Washington, D.C. a little over a year ago. It's called Can You Find God in D.C.? I think you will enjoy the beautiful programming that was done in the Jefferson and Lincoln Memorials and other places. If you want any of our products, just call us or get in touch with us, as would be indicated there on the screen. Recently, I was up in Lynchburg, Virginia, and while there, I got a little familiarity with Liberty University. But I also went to the gravesite of Dr. B.R. Lakin and his wife. And for those of you that might not be in my age category, perhaps you might not remember, but Dr. B.R. Lakin was oftentimes called the Prince of Preachers. He was, I believe, Brother Jerry Falwell's favorite preacher. Brother Lakin, I think, was born around the maybe early 1900s, and he was called the Prince of Preachers. He had a way of speaking that folks enjoyed. He could be funny, and then he could also bring the scriptures full steam ahead, as it were, and he had a good way of preaching. Dr. Lakin was a man that I really believe loved the Lord. He had served at Cato Tabernacle back years and years ago in Indianapolis, Indiana. But he was what some would call a circuit riding preacher. He started out on horses or mules back in his day, and then, of course, then later took the advantage of flying on commercial planes and that type of thing. Anyway, he could get there, but he was a great man. When you heard him preach, you felt like that you were hearing anointed preaching, and that's so important today. Much of our preaching has become mundane. It has become, I think, so much in oftentimes teaching style that seemingly it has no force, no unction of the Holy Spirit behind it. These early preachers, they really believed in relying upon the Lord and depending upon Him for strength and for anointing and for delivery of the message. And so that type of preacher may be few and far in between, but Dr. B.R. Lakin adhered to the roots in which he had come from there in West Virginia, and of course he traveled to other places and even abroad, to Israel and many places. Today I wanted to share with you a little clip from one of his messages from one of the heroes, Dr. B.R. Lakin.
Now I'm going to bring a message to you today in the second chapter of the book of Ephesians and verse 11. Second chapter of Ephesians, verse 11. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, but that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now these words were spoken of the Ephesian Christians before they were saved. I want to call your attention today to just two little words that come to us out of the dark background of this picture. And those two words are these: no hope. There are no words in the English language that have a more dreadful meaning than those two words. Doctor stands beside the bed upon which is a sick man, finger upon the sick man's pulse, anxiously the family awaits the verdict. And presently he says, prepare for the worst. There is no hope. Now, those are sad words in connection that we just used them, but they're darker still in the connection that we find them in this text. Far better had a man be without anything else in this world than to be without hope for a future life. You may be in great present prosperity, but if you have no hope, or you may be in great present distress, but if you have no hope, that amounts to but little. I want to talk to you now about three people that's mentioned in the Word of God that stands absolutely without any hope. Before I tell you who they are, it might be well for us to explain what we mean by the word hope. We use the word hope in a very careless way. God always uses it with the greatest of care. Desire, no matter how strong that desire may be, is not hope. Mere expectation is not hope. Hope, according to the Bible, is the well-founded, well-grounded expectation for the future. Now, who is it that has no well-grounded, well-founded expectation for the future? First, the man who doubts or denies the existence of God stands without any hope. The man who denies the Bible as the Word of God stands without any hope. The man who rejects Christ as the Son of God stands without any hope. So may I come to the first one. The man who doubts or denies the Word of God stands without any hope, because man's only rational hope for a future life rests upon the existence of a beneficent, omnipotent God ruling in nature and the affairs of men. Take that God out of the universe and man stands absolutely hopeless. Absolutely hopeless. You say, Dr. Lakin, do you believe that there's any that does not believe, that do not believe in the existence of God? Well, not many, but I've met a few little in for hells around over the country, but I never paid them much mind because most of them were so narrow between the eyes, a fleek is set astride of the bridge of their nose and kick them in both eyes at the same time and never inconvenience himself in the least. But I met Charles Evans Smith one day, 50 years ago, the president of the League of Atheism from New York City. I said to him, Mr. Smith, do you believe in theistic evolution? He said, no, I do not believe in a God at all. I said, well, how do you account for everything that is? He said, everything that is just happened to be. Like I'd take the letters of the alphabet and cut them to pieces, throw them up in the air, and they would just happen to become the 23rd Psalm. Or I would take this watch with all of its intricate mechanism and say, back of this intelligent creation, there was no creator. Back of this design, there was no designer. He said, the fact is, sir, I do not believe that I exist, either in mind or soul. I said, I'll admit the mind part of it. I don't know about your soul. I'll admit myself, I think you're a non-entity when it comes to brains. And then I asked him this question, and I want you young people to listen to this. I said, Mr. Smith, do you believe that a theistic evolutionist could be a Christian? He said, absolutely not. It's absolutely impossible. He said, the fact of the matter is, any man who is an evolutionist that stops short of atheism is simply a dishonest thinker. He's simply a dishonest thinker. I said, why could it not be a Christian? He said, evolution says that man did not fall, that he climbed down out of the trees and started to walk. He said, if man did not fall, man does not need a savior. Did the monkeys sin? Therefore, when you destroy the Garden of Eden, you have chopped down the need for the cross of Christ. You have chopped down the need for the cross of Christ.
And friends, it's always encouraging for us to know if you are able to watch the broadcast. If you'd like to email us or send a letter or whatever, feel free to do so. We don't do a lot of begging for money or anything like that, but obviously it does take money to stay on television and so on. We just want to finish well and be faithful to the trust that the Lord has given us. It has been our lot to, we have never charged a church a certain amount to come there. If others do, that's their business, but I don't want to do it myself. We simply travel by faith, and I believe that God is able to supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So we need today to have preachers that want to preach. We need preachers today, whoever we are, that are empowered by the Holy Spirit. We need that empowerment. We can't do it in and of ourselves. It has to have the touch of God upon it for it to be effective. I truly believe that. Otherwise, it's just preaching. It's just reciting some words, and I think we've gotten very comfortable with the ability to almost say something in our pulpits. We need to help educate folks. We need to help advocate for the truth, and we need to participate not only in our local churches, you know, we need to go to church. The church needs us. Your local church, the pastor needs you. And so my commitment is to our local church, Liberty Baptist Church of Muncie, Indiana. And that's the auspices from which I operate. And so my commitment is to be an outreach of that church. And so we appreciate it. If you feel that this kind of program is worthy of support, well, we'd appreciate it. We do not intend to beg or to hound people, and we're not a charlatan. We're not promising things that we can't deliver. We're not trying to tell you that if you give something, you'll have these results. I don't believe in that. And so I try to do my best and leave the results up to the Lord. But it is an honor that you would invite me into your place of viewing. I hope that you have enjoyed today's broadcast. I'll look forward to being with you whenever you have the opportunity to see our broadcast. But until that very special time, this is Andrew Phipps saying, I hope you have a wonderful and a pleasant day, and God bless.